Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
From time to time, I tell a story about something that happened when I was in college. I was asked if I could help a friend of mine who'd been put in charge of the Christian education program at a church in Hamilton, Massachusetts. He was looking for volunteers. I didn't go to that church, but he was a friend. So he said, "We've got this, and we need somebody to do this, and we need someone to do this." And he said, "And I've got this one class, middle school age kids, and they are really just giving everybody fits. And I need somebody who'd be willing to try and work with them." I said, "I'll do that." So he said, "Okay, great. You be here at this time and I'll introduce you." I said, "No. Tell me what time they start showing up and I'll be there before they get there." He said, "I just want to be in the room when they show up." He said, "Okay." And sure enough, I was there early, waiting, and first kid walks in, and I just sat in my chair, not the teacher's chair, just a chair over on the side. I just sat there with my arms folded and looked at him. Well, he kind of looked around the room and went over and took his seat. Silence. I didn't say anything. He didn't say anything. I didn't smile. He didn't smile. Soon another kid came walking in. Same pattern. Looks at me, looks at him, nobody's saying anything. Second kid goes and sits down. And this continued until I was satisfied that the kids who were supposed to be there had arrived, and I got up and walked over and closed the door. I looked at them and I said, "Who am I?" They were like, "Well, we don't know." And I said, "Okay, well, what do you know about me?" Someone ventured to say, "You're weird." I said, "Okay, let's put that on the board. Weird. What else do you know?" "Well, you're a man." "Okay, male. What else?" We don't know." And I said, "Well, what's my name?" "We don't know your name." Now, folks, I won't give you the whole lesson, but I will tell you where I went with that if you haven't figured it out or heard it a few times before. And that is, you can't really know someone except as they reveal themselves to you. If a person doesn't tell you their name, you can call them names, but this person's opinion is no better than that person's opinion. If all we have in the way of faith is just some ancient traditions of what various people from previous generations thought about how the universe got here and who's in control and so forth, then one religion's view is just as good as another. 1972, Francis Schaeffer wrote a book called "He Is There and He Is Not Silent." Talking about God, obviously. We don't just know some things about God. God reveals himself in various ways that, God willing, we'll look at this week. And as God reveals himself, we have to decide what we believe. Are we going to trust him? In order for you to know me, I must reveal myself, and you must decide what you believe. After the kids had kind of exhausted their guesses and observations and we'd made a list, I said, "What if I were to tell you that my name is Jim and that I'm 20 years old. And I'm from North Carolina. Do you believe me? Well, some of them weren't sure. Some of them thought maybe so. But as one person said, you don't sound like you're from North Carolina. And I said, okay, well, what if I were to show you this? And I pulled out my driver's license, and it had my name, and it had my birth date, and it said I was from North Carolina. I said, now do you believe me? Well, yeah, okay, all right. And I said, so I've given you evidence that has caused you to believe what I've said. And I said, but how do you know it's not a fake ID? Well, we don't. And I said, how many of you think it's a fake ID? Nobody did, as I recall. I said, so you're willing to believe the evidence? Yes. So what is my name? Jim. And how old am I? 20. And where do I come from? North Carolina. I must reveal myself for you to know me. You can know things about me without really knowing me. In order to know me, you must decide what you believe, and you have to move beyond information to intimacy only as there is trust. From the start of human history, our enemy's lie has been, you can't trust God. Did God really say that? You will not die. He just knows that if you eat the fruit, you'll become like him. From the start, he has sought to undermine humans' confidence in God's revelation. In all the thousands of years since, he hasn't had to change his tactic. It's still what he's trying to do. Undermine people's confidence in God's revelation of himself. But in all that time, God has never lied. God is completely trustworthy. And God is not silent. So God willing, this week, we're going to look at some of the ways in which God has revealed himself. And the goal is not just that we would gain more information about God. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Philippi, as one who has repeatedly put his life on the line for the gospel after he came to know Jesus, he says that his prayer is this, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, even being made conformable to his death. We serve a God who is the only real God, and he can be known. He wants to be known. He is not silent because he is calling his people to him. In Psalm 115, we read these words. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory. Because of your love and faithfulness, why do the nations say, where is their God? Our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him. But their idols are silver and gold made by the hands of men. They have mouths, but cannot speak. Eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but cannot hear. Noses, but they cannot smell. They have hands, but cannot feel. Feet, but they cannot walk. Nor can they utter a sound with their throats. Those who make them will be like them, and so will all who trust in them. God in his word shows a contrast between himself and the various other things people worship. The idols cannot speak. God speaks. The idols cannot see. God sees. God hears. Folks, that is what makes our faith different from every counterfeit faith on the planet. God is real. He is there, and he is not silent. He has revealed himself to all people everywhere. Nobody on the planet is going to be able to say, well, I didn't know there was a God. Everybody knows there's a God. God has made it plain. And the reason some people don't believe there is a God is they suppress the truth in unrighteousness, Romans chapter 1. So I implore you, seek the God who is God. Not just to know about him, but to know him. Not just to gain information, but to be transformed by the renewing of your minds. You not only have to look at the evidence that God provides, but you have to decide, what am I going to believe? Am I going to trust him? Unless you trust him, you will never know him. The more you trust him, the more you will know him. And the more you know him, the more you will trust him. Don't be afraid. Satan is the father of lies, but God never lies. His word is truth.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I wonder if you'd take a moment to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things. First of all, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us, that we'll remain faithful, and that God will continue to use us to spread his word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is, and he's holding out his hand, but the waves are calling out my name and they laugh.
Please look at 1 Kings chapter 18, beginning in verse 16. This is God's word. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. When he saw Elijah, he said to him, "Is that you, you troubler of Israel?" "I have not made trouble for Israel," Elijah replied, "but you and your father's family have. You have abandoned the Lord's commands and have followed the Baals. Now summon the people from all over Israel to meet me on Mount Carmel, and bring the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab sent word throughout all Israel and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him." But the people said nothing. Then Elijah said to them, "I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Get 2 bulls for us. Let them choose one for themselves and let them cut it into pieces and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. The God who answers by fire, he is God." Then all the people said, "What you say is good." Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose one of the bulls and prepare it first, since there are so many of you. Call on the name of your God, but do not light the fire. So they took the bull given them and prepared it. Then they called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. Oh, Baal, answer us, they shouted. But there was no response. No one answered. And they danced around the altar they had made. At noon, Elijah began to taunt them. Shout louder, he said. Surely he is a god. Perhaps he is deep in thought or busy or traveling. Maybe he's sleeping and must be awakened. So they shouted louder and slashed themselves with swords and spears, as was their custom, until their blood flowed. Midday passed, and they continued their frantic prophesying until the time for the evening sacrifice. But there was no response. No one answered. No one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come here to me." And they came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which was in ruins. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Your name shall be Israel." With the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench around it, large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. He arranged the wood, cut the bull into pieces, and laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, "Fill 4 large jars with water and pour it on the offering and on the wood." "Do it again," he said, and they did it again. "Do it a third time," he ordered, and they did it the third time. The water ran down around the altar and even filled the trench. At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, "O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God and that you are turning their hearts back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." Wow. Talk about something that was unmistakable evidence. But please notice a couple of details. Notice that Elijah said, "Lord, I want them to know that you are our God and that I have done all these things according to your word." He didn't say, "What could we do that would show that God is real?" I got it. We'll have a contest. We'll have sacrifices on competing altars. And I know that Baal's not going to be able to come through with anything because Baal is not really God. But God, if we pour water on there, that will really show it. No, that's not what happened. He said, "God, I want them to know that you are God and that everything, all this weird stuff that I have orchestrated up here was in obedience to your word." Hopefully at the end of the week, we're going to revisit that aspect of how God still speaks today. You know how he speaks? You know how he declares who he is and shows his glory? As his people obey him. As we obey, God manifests his power. But the other detail that I want you to note is that no matter how the prophets of Baal called out, shouting, cutting themselves, well, let me just tell you, the worship of anything but God is self-destruction. I mean, what were they doing? Frantically trying to get from their God what their God couldn't give. And in the process of trying to get what their God couldn't give, they start injuring themselves, cutting themselves with knives and spears till the blood flowed. That's a picture of what's happening in our world. It's always been the case. If you don't worship God, you will destroy yourself in the process of offering your life to something that cannot satisfy. It may be athletics. It may be drugs. It may be sex. It may be the pursuit of money. But you will ultimately injure and destroy yourself in the process of trying to get what you want from a God that isn't God. The phrase that's repeated twice concerning when they were doing this. Verse 26. So they took the bull given them and prepared it. Then they called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. O Baal, answer us, they shouted. But there was no response. No one answered. Verse 29, the last part of the verse. But there was no response. No one answered. No one paid attention. I told some folks yesterday the story of getting to lead a guy to the Lord after a breeze got his attention. I was asked to speak at the baccalaureate for the high school in Chatham, Massachusetts, and it was out on the beach, and the little musical group was there with their music on the stands, and it was a nice little thing, and the ocean was lapping on Harding's Beach behind us, and people were gathered there to celebrate the accomplishment of their graduating seniors. And the bugs were just so hungry. I mean, everybody was being swarmed with biting insects. Well, you couldn't leave because it's baccalaureate, and that's my Johnny up there. And so, you know, we gotta stand here going like this. I mean, it was terrible. The musicians did their thing, and then soon it was my time to pray and then speak. And so I prayed, and I said, Lord, we thank you for the joy of this occasion and for this beautiful location, but it really would be nice if you would send a breeze right now and drive away the insects. And immediately, not just a little breeze, a wind that blew the music off the stands of the musicians. I mean, there was no mistaking it. And by the way, all the bugs immediately were driven away. And this guy, who had been not at all a Christian and not living a godly life or anything resembling it, saw that and thought, for the first time, the reality of God breaking through in a way that he recognized. And so he made an appointment to see me that week, and he got saved. I'm leaving out a ton of details, but I want you to understand something. We serve a God who is real. We serve a God who is not silent. We serve a God who is alive, and we serve a God who is holy, who is almighty, and who amazingly has chosen to love us. That's why we're here. That's what this is about. That's why it matters. And I don't want you to be as I once was, a person who knows about him but doesn't yet know him. I want you to really know him. And I want him to be able to say, I know you. I know you. And I love you. I've called you by name. I've put my seal upon you. And you are mine for all eternity.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org.
That's pastorwood.org.